Yeah, for those of you wondering, Jesse and I did not plan this. We didn't see each other until we got in the car this morning. I looked, saw him come out the door. I was like, you got to be kidding me. He got in. He said, Dad, seriously? What can I say? Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Oh, let me get a drink of water here real quick. As a matter of fact, I'm going to set that right there. Oh, praise God. I'm going to talk about a subject today that is often misunderstood. I've talked about it in times past, but as people come, you know, new faces, sometimes people don't know what really is, because a lot of churches don't want to talk about this. They don't want you to think that they're real, and that is on the subject of demons. You know, we in this day, we have this ideology that demons are only in the movies, you know, like The Exorcist or The Conjuring or things of that nature, okay? Let me tell you right now, they are very real. But there's not a demon behind every tree. There, I've heard preachers try to tell you that the chest cold is from a demon. Well, I went through boot camp demon possessed then. But it is not. Not all sickness is from a demonic spirit. I know one time Jesus cast out a mute spirit out of somebody. But another person, he laid hands on them, the woman with the issue of blood. Nothing was done but her touching the hem of his garment. Her faith healed her. The centurion's faith healed his servant. So when we start boiling it all down, there, demons are not hiding behind every tree, waiting to get you. Now, if you're a servant of the Most High, they might be. I'm not going to lie. They want you to disobey God. But there's some things I need you to understand as well. We don't have to worry about them. The church, we're so superstitious about 666. We won't take it if it shows up on our license plate, even if it's followed by four other numbers. That's not the mark of the beast. That is the equation. That's what it equals. The mark is something entirely different. It's not going to be 666. It's a mathematical equation. It says the sum of his name is this. I'm not smart enough mathematically to figure it out. I've tried, and I just said, God, I guess I don't care. It doesn't bother me that bad. But so we're superstitious about so many things. We're afraid to talk about things. Demons are real. Demons are, their desire is to possess a human being. Now, I cannot emphatically deny or confirm that they cannot enter into an animal. Well, we know they can. What am I saying? I can't emphatically confirm. I just never had the experience. I mean, a mean dog is a mean dog. Doesn't mean he's possessed. But pigs? Anybody that's ever raised pigs, you know they're possessed right off the bat. But we do read of that when Jesus cast out the demons out of the madman of the Gadarenes. The entire herd committed suicide. That's what happened when an animal was hit with the same spirit that had been controlling this man. This man wanted to die. He was honestly trying to kill himself, but couldn't. These pigs, on the other hand, all they knew was, we don't like this, and they jumped off of a cliff. But Hollywood has painted a picture of people crawling on walls and across ceilings, and it's creepy, not gonna lie. I'm like, I haven't even watched the movie, I saw the trailer. And I already know, I don't want to watch it. And I have watched my share of horror movies, okay? And, you know, I've told Angela, I said, the only ones that actually bother me are the ones that start dealing with real demonic things. Things that could be real. Okay, I know a man's not going to turn into a werewolf, okay? It's not going to happen. I know that we're not going to be able to put light or electric jumper cables on some guy's neck and lightning hit a rod and raise him from the dead. Yeah, I know that's not happening. It's scary. And I know that a guy's not going to turn into a bat. But that was the worst movie for me ever. Salem's Lot. I was 10. Not a good movie when you're 10. Not a good movie, period. But I watched it later when I was 20, and I was like, oh, what was I scared of? I think I fast-forwarded the one scene that scared me at 20, and a Marine. But in all that we won, we have to be careful what we're taking in. I tell you this because even watching war movies, I love war movies. But if I watch tons and tons of war, you can ask my family what starts. I had a video game, just a simple little video game, nothing hard. Played it on my computer, and it was called, I think it was called Marine Sniper. And man, I got good at that thing. Man, I knew right where the dog was going to jump up and attack me. I knew where the guy was hiding and all this because I played it over and over and over. But the problem is, the longer I played it, the more aggressive I became. I became extremely aggressive, and Angela said, you need to quit playing that game. And I'm like, okay. So you do have to be careful with what you're taking in. If all you're taking in is all this garbage about these demonic movies, next thing, you're going to be comfortable. And I'm not saying you need to be afraid, but you don't need to be cozying up to sin. That's the problem. We watch these movies and we cozy up to the sin of something, and that's not acceptable. Christ didn't die to make us where we were cozy with sin. The Holy Spirit is in you. That's the Spirit that lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that filled him when he was baptized. That's what lives inside of you. And it is a spirit of power and of a strong mind. And so you do not have to fear. That's why the word tells us, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Right now, Christians, I look at it, and right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting this out here. Right now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If your faith is in Trump returning, knock it off. Your faith had better be in God. Trump could die tomorrow. Then where's your faith? Okay, he doesn't eat a good diet. I'll just be honest. And he hasn't exactly been the best as far as his lifestyle. So let's get our faith back onto God. If God uses him again, hallelujah. If God raises somebody up out of the depths, hallelujah. But we are misplacing our trust, and I see Christians running all over the place looking for this, and then I see Christians who are, oh, they're just sad, they're terrified, or they're, I'm going to join the end times rebellion. You want to rebel? You want to be a rebel for Jesus Christ? Start telling your neighbor Jesus is coming. You want to be a rebel? Start being a Christian. That's the best vitamin, B1. Be a Christian. Act like a Christian. You see somebody who needs love, give them love. You need somebody who needs a hand, well, I don't talk to them. I don't give a rat's furry bottom if you don't talk to them. Get up off your butt and go help somebody. Well, you know, I just learned some people that had got asked to help something. It was kind of a scary situation. I was in it once before too. But they did it. Hey, sometimes we get asked to do things. We do them. You know, I don't want to get involved. Well, you know, I didn't either. As I told him, I got kicked in the face and a few other things. It wasn't fun. And dealt with anger for the next year of what I should have done. And I'm going to tell you what happened. While I kept thinking about that, I murdered this person 3 times. Got rid of their body 3 times. In my head, okay? Let's get that clear. Murder begins in the heart. And I started planning this out. And it got, I let it get so festered up in me, I punched a steel I-beam at work. That was stupid. But I was so full of hate right then. And I just let it overpower me. I can tell you right now, I can pray for, he's in prison for attempted murder. But I'm here to tell you, don't let your stupid little petty things fester. Do not hold on to these things. This is where demonic powers enter in. Okay? They have to have a foothold. We're going to look at a few things here today. I know of a young lady, to my knowledge, she has never been delivered. Okay? And one night, my parents got a call. Hey, call your pastor and come. You guys come over here. Such and so and so is something weird going on. Well, they had called in her church and her mom's church, anyhow. And this is in this county, just FYI. So if you think, well, he's telling a story from another state, no, it's right here in this county, right here in this city. So just keep that in mind. And this young girl, she was a teenager at the time. I don't know what triggered it, but she began with a full-on demonic manifestation. And when my parents got in there, they said her face had even distorted. So the movie is kind of correct on that, and she was kind of green. And there were several people trying to restrain her. Let me help you out here. Did you ever see Jesus restrain a demoniac? There's a reason. Because she had two men, 300 pounds each, doing this with them. And the demon was the one speaking at this time. And somebody, why people feel like they have to talk to demons? But this was interesting. And somebody said, how'd you get in her? I said, I entered in church. She sat in the back of the sanctuary, and there was a girl up front sitting next to the boy she liked, and they were dating. And she began to hate in her heart this young girl and started wanting to kill her. And that's when she became possessed. Now, her church shows up. They got their holy water, their tea bags, and whatever. They had maple leaves, I think. Understand this, witchcraft does not cast out demons. House divided cannot stand. Okay? There's only one thing that will drive a demon. It's not a cross. It's not the Bible. Folks, those words, they're great. We love to read them. But where is the power from? The power is from our mouth. Speaking those words. That's why I tell you, you need to get in and look at them. And this is your part of what you're supposed to be doing. But again, it's not casting out demons out of things that ain't got demons. Your water heater does not have a demon. It's got air in it. Okay? I was laying in bed last night and I heard, it's like 12:30 and I just lay there. I'm like, I was waiting for her to say what, because we just went to bed. And now, I knew what it was because the first time I heard it, I got up and went and investigated. I'm like, okay, that is right below me in the basement. And when we bought our house, we have somebody painted in 1904 this pointy-eared thing. I still got the door in the basement, but I have no. It looks like an alien. I'm like, but it's dated 1904, so I have no idea what it is, what somebody saw, or what somebody was smoking in 1904. But I knew it was my water softener cycling. It had opened and was now pumping the water out. So, but there are people, I got a demon in my house. Oh, you want to think you're being attacked by demons? Come here on a sunny day. And you can hear this roof popping as it's expanding. I'm walking around and I'm like, Lord, it's awful noisy. I can't even hear my music. But anyhow, I got off case. But anyhow, they brought all this stuff in. The other church was there first, and they're trying to cast it with this maple leaf and their water and their incantations. And the first thing you need to understand, it won't work. And so mom and dad and our pastor at the time got there, and the demon kind of finished up what it was saying and doing. And he told him, you failed. And I'm going back into hiding. And it ended. Now, to my knowledge, I don't know that she's ever had a manifestation, but let understand this, she is not delivered, because it was hatred. This woman, she's just a few years older than me, hates the corporation that her father worked for, because they either laid him off or fired him or something, but she hates that corporation. That's why I tell you, I've preached a message, maybe I need to preach again. You can't hate. You can't afford to hate. Oh, I hate sin. No, knock it off. Knock it off. Don't even put the word hate in your vocabulary. Let God hate it. You don't have the capacity for hate. We're barely getting filled up on the love. We're barely understanding God's love, and yet we're constantly going back. Oh, I hate this. I hate that. Oh, I hate chocolate pudding. Well, you can send it to my house. One of the things I got, Jesse brought me for my birthday the other day, I love snack packs. And I got two of them out in the fridge in my office, and he brings me this 36 big old box of snack packs. Downside is half of them are vanilla, but it's good vanilla, so I'm okay with that. I ain't gonna tell you how many I ate yesterday. I got hungry. But people find everything they hate. They start throwing the word hate around. Hate, 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 hate. I hate this. I hate that. Listen, I don't like traffic jams. But you know what? It is a part of life if you want a better road. There's a lot of stuff I don't like. But I don't hate it. Because I know what hate does. Hate is the exact opposite of love. And when you hate somebody, I hate this political group. Knock it off. I'm going to tell you a little something. Every veteran in here served to protect the rights of that political group, not just yours. They have the right. We have a right to vote. The evangelical Christians were the reason for 8 years. They didn't get out and vote. Well, I don't need to vote. Whoever God wants in, he's going to put in. Well, that's kind of true. But you still got to get out and vote. He gave you that right. It's a God-given right. So, but anyhow, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Told you I'd get to some scripture. And I told him not to bring this up, and now I'm regretting that. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Sickness and disease, they're real. High blood pressure isn't a demon. Obesity is not a demon. There could be something wrong in your body. Here's something. Mental retardation is not a demon. I'm sick and tired of people saying that somebody that's mentally retarded, or I don't even know if that's even politically correct anymore. Yeah, it's not. I'm being told it's not. Who are mentally handicapped. Does that one still fly? Who have issues. Okay. That they're possessed. A demon didn't do that. Something went wrong in the birth process. A baby born without a limb is not possessed. Something went wrong. Why? Because of the fall of man in the garden. That's where it all started. I knew a young man who was in a bad accident. He nearly died. Now his father, I've never met his father, but his father was evidently a pretty decent sized man, because this boy grew as a teenager to be about 6'4". And he was strong as an ox. Y'all, just because somebody is naturally strong does not mean they're demon possessed either. That was one of the first things. Oh, you got to be demon possessed. Look at how strong he is. I have met some guys that don't even look strong. And holy moly, they'll eat your lunch. And yet, these Christians are saying they're mentally retarded. I don't mean to be offending anybody. I really don't. That is a demon. It is not a demon. It is something did not develop. Something happened in their forming. Could have been something natural. It just could have been something that's down the line. We don't know. But people have tried to cast demons out of this guy. And by the way, he was, before the accident, he was normal. He was a normal little boy. After the accident, which almost killed him, he was hit on his bicycle in Williamsport. Some of you know who he is, if you were in the area at the time. He's still alive. But because of that, and because he acted different, Christians started saying he had to be demon-possessed. And his mother kept, he's not possessed. He's barely got enough function in his brain to comprehend things. Well, unfortunately, people kept pushing and pushing and pushing that issue. He's now on the sexual offenders list. Now he might be, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, when he was a little boy after the accident, it was not a demon. It was something totally natural. Okay, somebody's paralyzed or they can't walk. Oh, they got a demon. No. Broke their back, broke their neck. Something happened. Somebody comes in, starts, their eyes go black. They start speaking in a weird voice. That's demon possession. I've seen the black eyes in here. Yes, demons can come to church. In my dreams, I have had demons hit me and woke up because I got hit. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to handle it. You're freaking me out. I want you to understand something. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You need to know who you are. Well, I'm afraid of what our government's going to do. I still understand who my God is. I understand he's greater than he that's in this world. I don't care if I have to live through the Antichrist. I don't really care. I'd prefer not to. Just saying. If I have my choice, I'd prefer not to. But I'm not going to preach to you that, oh, we're all going to just go away. We don't have to worry about this. Well, there's a part of me that says, why did Jesus tell us then to figure out his name? That we can. The sum of his name is 666. And by the way, this is the false prophet. It's not the Antichrist, the guy in charge you need to be afraid of. It's the guy that jumps up in the clergy robe. That's the one who kills everybody. That's the one. We took our eyes off of the prize. Oh, well, let's just let the church get... Nope. You know, the church... I don't want a one world great big church where we're all... we're ruling everything. Nope. That's going to be scary. It's scary when you put somebody in charge of something like that. Look at history. Right, Joe? Joe's our history teacher. We talk about this a lot on things. But anyhow... So Jesus gave us the power over demons, unclean spirits. Now, we have to understand something. Where do demons actually come from? Here is the number one, in my opinion, the number one fallacy about demons. They are fallen angels. No, they're not. First off, an angel does not need your body to do anything. The angels came down. They didn't need the body of a man to procreate. Their bodies, they change, okay? We don't know what happened. I got preachers around, that's just garbage. They couldn't have done that. They did, and they procreated. And if you don't believe that, then you need to shut up and quit preaching out of that Bible. Or, by the way, this is all garbage. Okay? And I don't believe it is. And so they start teaching that it's the fallen angels that became demons. Well, if you understand anything, you know that the angels that were then that fell, even according to Peter, are now bound in chains until perdition, until they're judged. They are currently bound, those angels. We don't know about the ones that came with Lucifer, but the ones that did all this, they are bound. And you want to know here's a little secret for you. You want to know where the rock is that God covered the pit? Where they're bound? You want to know why there's such a fight for Jerusalem? It's outside Jerusalem. That's why Jerusalem is so fought over. I'm sorry, folks. I don't see anything pretty. I don't see a pile of rocks worth fighting for. Keep it! It's all looks like a bunch of sandstone to me. Looks hot, looks miserable. But it isn't about that. The demonic powers want to free those. Now, let's get back to the source of demons. You'd have to understand that there are certain books that the normal, I'll call them normal because I'm not normal. The part of the church refuses to acknowledge, well, because it wasn't canonized in 300 AD. Stop and think about what you just said. The church got together and we said, these are the only books that we'll believe. And just because something was hidden in a cave and just happened to come out just before Israel was acknowledged as a country, once again, as a nation, that because they had to use part of texts that were found in Ethiopia, which is where one of the disciples went to preach, and then they found this, and that's how they put together the book of Enoch. And the book of Enoch says clearly that when the angels created children out of the daughters of men, because they found them beautiful, that, well, one, they became giants. They became more powerful than us. But what Enoch records that the Genesis does not, and you need to understand that Enoch, Genesis may be pulling from the book of Enoch in some points, because there are several points it's almost word for word. But the angels produced children that were huge. And guess what happens when you're big? Anybody ever seen Andre the Giant? And the amount of food that man had to eat just to keep going? And you suddenly now have potentially hundreds or thousands of these things. These guys that could be anywhere from 10 to 15 feet tall. Well, Enoch records they begin to violate man and beast. Now, you can take that violation two ways. Sexually, and they started eating them. You need to understand, know your Bible. Man was not given permission by God to eat meat until Noah came off of the ark. Nobody ate. We were all vegetarians. It was until then. And then God said, and I'm going to put fear in them of you. So now, we got all these things. So is there the potential for the things we've seen on Lord of the Rings? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Half man, half beast. You need to understand something. Angels are not men. They are spirits. And for a short time, they were able to be as men. The Bible records that many times, where an angel came in and he sat down and had dinner. Okay, so they can eat. But these angels produced these things and they began to attack man and beast. And the Bible says, but Enoch says that the blood of the innocents cried out from the ground. Well, we hear that in Genesis about Cain and Abel. We read about that in the book of Revelation, that the blood of the martyrs during the great tribulation cries out from under the altar. That it's crying out for justice. And the blood that was being poured out on the earth at that time was crying out to God. And God said, I will destroy them. We will eliminate them. Now, here's what happened. God pitted them against each other. Nobody had to kill them. He created enmity between the two, between the giants and the whatever else was created because of that. and they killed each other. And God held the angels that did that responsible and made them watch. Okay? You need to understand, these angels were responsible for teaching man metalworking, witchcraft, what herbs to use to kill the baby. You thought abortion was a new issue? God gave man one command: be fruitful and multiply. What about the tree? That was just stay away from it. That was a warning. This is what we were supposed to be doing. And bring your earth into subjection. We were supposed to make this place a garden. Some place we all wanted to be. Now, Enoch records that the spirits, you need to understand, angels are spirits. They do not need your body. Okay? Now, we have a spirit in us. We are spirit, but we have a body. And even after the return of Christ, this body resurrects. So we will always have a body. Jesus will always have a body. He will no longer need to transform down and create a body. He has one. We will always have this body. It won't be subjected to the sins of this world. So if you've had issues since childhood, you know, whether your weight's been up, down, all over the place, whether you got stiffness in your back, your hips, your legs, your knees, whatever, whatever it is you've been dealing with, your migraines, you won't have that stuff anymore when this body is resurrected. That's why I talked to you a couple weeks ago about death. Though people die when he comes to take us, it's a flash, it's boom, it's over. That's how quick death was. Nothing to be afraid of. So these spirits now have been all killed, but they're half man. What does that mean? A spirit lives forever. Always. Spirit doesn't die. And when you're a man, a spirit of man, you need a body. Enoch records that these are the demons. These spirits who have been disembodied now, they can't go back to their body. Their bodies are dead. And there's a really good chance that when we see the resurrection of the of those to their reward and those to perdition, we're going to see some things coming out of the ground that we thought, no way is that possible. But these demons now need bodies. And these demons are hell-bent on destruction of you. That's why they do. That's why they, people who are possessed, gnash at their, they're biting. When it says the gnashing of teeth, it means you're just constantly trying to bite something. Your teeth, you're in just such torment. And these people, I've seen them where they claw themselves. They're in torment of it. It's not because somebody poured holy water over them. Okay, if you understand anything about the holy water, it's actually not clean. So many people dipping their hands in there every day. You can say prayer all you want over that stuff. I ain't putting my hands in that stagnant stuff. One, it doesn't do anything. I can take my Bible in there and I've seen it in the movie. They try to come out. Nope. That didn't do it. I like what the Last Chosen I got to watch. It's the last one they made. Jesus cast a demon out of a man. And the man is manifesting. We don't know if it's one of the Gadarenes or what. I kind of lost track. But he cast many demons out, so it didn't matter. You know, here comes Jesus. He's got his cross. He's got his holy water. He's got his Bible. And he's got his robe and his maple leaves. And no, he didn't. He just walked up to the guy and says, come out of him. The guy drops and starts weeping. He didn't argue with him. There was a reason he needed to know about that legion. There was a reason. You don't need to get his life story. Come out. Now, I tell you the stuff that I've learned because people don't know. They're pulling their theology from movies. And then they're pulling their theology from what they think demons are. Demons are spirits looking for a body, and they're looking for a way in. And I'm going to tell you, number one way in is fear. Fear and hatred. They kind of act like they're two separate subjects, but they're actually the same. Those are two ways right there that a demon can enter in. I lived in a house once when we actually moved back more permanent to the area. I was in the first grade. Okay, I'm six. Came home, and mom and dad said, if you come home, we're not here, go around back and go in through the garage door. And said, okay. So that one day they weren't home, and I went in, and the door was locked, so they told me just go to the basement. Okay, well, that's where all my toys were, so I'd go down there and I'd play. I had my bicycle in the basement. I could ride. You know, when you're little, basement seems huge. That house was tiny. I mean, it was 1,200 square foot at its biggest with all those poles. And I'm in the basement, and I hear the garage door go up. I'm still playing. Hear the garage door go down. Heard the door open. Heard somebody walk through the kitchen. Mom and Dad are home. I came tearing up out of the basement steps, raised up, garage door's down, no car in the garage, door still locked. But I heard the door go up, heard the door go down, heard the door open, and I heard somebody walk across the kitchen. Well, you're just hearing things. If I was, so were my parents. So were the people that lived there before us. So we lived there a few more years. And then guess what? Mom and Dad got saved. Mom got in the Bible. She started reading about demons. It was a spirit of fear, looking for a way in. And I'm going to tell you right now, all the fear, my family was loaded with fear. Fear of water, fear of this, fear of that, fear of letting go, fear of growing up. You name it, we had it. And at that point, I had a fear of the dark. Thanks to Salem's Lot. And Mom and Dad got saved, and they read about demons. And they went around the house, and they began praying. We, up until the current owner, who was our landlord's son, and all the years this house was built in 1967, my parents are the only ones who stayed together. Every couple that lived in there divorced. Now, I'm telling you this because sometimes there is a spiritual reason behind it. Sometimes you got to deal with a spiritual force. Oh, but I don't think, listen, you have the same authority I have. Now, if you need backup, I'm all glad to come over and help you. That's all I'm saying. It wouldn't matter if it's a physical enemy or a spiritual enemy. But the point being, you have the authority. These are demons looking for a way in. They aren't in your hot water heater. I've heard people trying to cast demons out of their car. Well, when was the last time you did a tune-up on it? Oh, I never do a tune-up. I don't believe in that. Especially back in the day, you had to tune them up every 10,000 or whatever. You know, now it's 100,000. Well, I don't believe in tuning my cars up. I just run them until they fall apart. Well, okay. Same thing with my tires. I believe the angels are keeping them tires on the road. I bet you them angels wish you'd get a set of tires. Quit spending the money on bubble gum and go buy you some tires. But the spiritual forces you're against, they wage war. That's why Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We aren't wrestling against the left and the right in this country. We're wrestling against evil. Period. That's all that it is. And we're not going to win a war with a spiritual force by going out and killing people. I was talking to a guy last night. He's a Marine. He early 60s, got out in 64. You know, we were just talking about that. We honestly have not won a war since World War II. Vietnam, we really didn't win. We could kick butt, but we were talking about the politicians. If they want to fight a war, put them in there. Otherwise, you let the generals call the shots. Korea, Persian Gulf, Afghanistan, Iraq. We didn't win anything. World War II, there were two nations brought to their knees. The men that fought in that, they knew what winning a war was. And that's why they hated Korea and Vietnam, because it was a different mindset. A spiritual war, there's a winner. As long as you hold up, it's you. That's why the Bible says, if we will hold fast, if we will stand fast, we will reap. And I know some of you are just like, okay, a little too much. I don't know if I like this church anymore. Well, I promise you, when the doo-doo hits the fan, you're going to love this church. Because there's churches teaching that demons do not exist. That's because the demons up there preaching. Demons lie. Now, I'll tell you, when I used to be tormented in my dreams. I'd have dreams that just wake me up, and, you know, demons. There was one night I had to give up my bed to somebody. I was a senior, so I went and slept in the living room on the floor, and I woke up in the middle of the night praying in the spirit. And I remember the dream vividly. I was standing toe-to-toe with a demon. And I woke up, and I'm praying in the spirit. And I'm like, wow, that was something else. Well, the other morning I woke up at, I don't know what time I woke up. I actually got out of bed at 5:30, so if that tells you anything, if you know me. I'm not an early bird. I'll stay up till 5:30 and go to bed. But boy, if you got to ask me to get up at 4 or 5, you better keep me moving. And then I'll show you a little bit about with it. In this dream, I was in my house. It was kind of a conglomeration of houses. And I was in my living room, and I heard a noise upstairs. Now, I didn't tell Angela this, but something inside me, we were leaving. The boys were little, and I said, oh, it must be Joshua upstairs. And I know it was the Holy Spirit inside me that said, that's not Joshua. So I went out, and I went up the steps. The steps were not ours. As a matter of fact, they were covered in white carpet. You know, the first thing I said to myself is, who covered my steps in white carpet? I have children. What am I talking about? I live here. And so I went up the steps, and as I was coming around the bend, I instantly knew it was not, because something hit me and knocked my feet out from underneath me. But I remained sitting straight up, looking, and I never did actually see it, but I hurt. So if you can imagine in the voice of Megatron, you cannot keep me out or shut me out. I woke up. I showered. I prayed in the spirit for about an hour or two. Went and sat on the front porch, watched the sun come up, drinking my coffee, thinking about what just took place. It's not my first dream about demons. It's not the first time they've spoke to me. So yes, demons do talk to me in my sleep. But the Holy Spirit in me knows what it is. See, the same spirits told me, you can't come into this town. You're not welcome. Well, I call it cocky. Cocky enough, I said, you want to bet? And I walked into the building that they were trying to keep me out of. Now, I got vague ideas on what it was trying to tell me. So I'm telling you, because you need to understand something. And this is why I do not agree with people not, preachers not saying what's going on, what they're starting to, because when a spear goes through a target, the tip of the spear, which is me, goes through the target, but the rest of that spear travels through it as well. It's affected. I'm just the tip. You're the strength. The tip is only as strong as the rest of that spear is. And so if you don't know that, hey, you might be facing some things, I want you to know you have all the power you need. We used to sing that song. He's got all the power you need. Well, I don't know. Maybe I need to go to a casting out demon class. No, you do not. Just don't. Ignore all those people trying to lure you in. They just want your money. That's all they're after. But demons are what we actually fight. And when we understand that there's a spiritual force behind these things, not all sickness, not all disease. Jesus was smart enough to recognize sometimes there was a spirit. That's why he spent time praying. He needed to be able to discern what was a spirit keeping somebody from speaking and what was just they were born without a tongue. The disciples, the man that was born blind, who sinned, they said. That's religiosity. That says, well, you're sick, you must have sinned. Well, let's see. Somebody sinned. Maybe my three pudding cups yesterday was a bit of a sin. They're tiny. Come on. They're just tiny. 4 or 5 spoons. That's it. I mean, man, when she makes pudding by the big, and then slather that with whipped cream. Sin does not always equate to a health problem. Now, I will tell you, sin equated to me breaking my back. I disobeyed the voice of God, who told me to cut that tree down first. Not second, cut it down first. If I'd have cut that tree down first, I'd have never went to the emergency room that night. Okay, I disobeyed you, Lord, I'm sorry. But boy, were you faithful. You got me out from underneath the tree. I was standing in that stupid thing still bouncing. That's God. Doctor, you dodged a bullet. Part of me said, really? I don't feel like I dodged it. I know what he meant. The tree should have killed me. God knew what was going to happen and he tried to stop it. But my disobedience, which is sin. So don't ever say, well, I'm without sin. Well, I disobeyed God. He told me to slow down, and I didn't. Now I'm getting a ticket. Yeah, that's sin. That's what sin is. All Adam and Eve did was ate an apple. Adam said, well, honey, why don't you try this first? Okay. Adam wasn't totally stupid. If she dies, I ain't touching it. So she pulls the apple. Okay. She's still standing upright. She still looks good. Here, honey, you try it. When he took it, something happened. Woman, you are naked. What am I saying? I'm naked. Let's get some clothes on before somebody sees us. Which should be your other proof that they had been there for a while. If it's just you and your spouse, who cares? Because I got news for you. Here's a news flash for all those people. Oh, here's the other thing. If you like to be naked, you got to be demon-possessed. People that sleep naked are demon-possessed. That's one of them I heard. I physically heard them. I'm like, okay. Don't know that how, but just because the man kept tearing his clothes. He was destroying himself. But here's what I'm going to hit y'all with, everybody that's thinking that. It says our robes, if we are now restored back to be prior glory of in the garden where they wore no clothes, what need of clothes do we have? There will be no lust. It won't be there. It'll just be normal. Thank God it's not the bod I have now. I'm believing for that 30-year-old. I picked up a little bit of weight. Ladies, it won't be after you've had your kids. Wait a minute, it won't be after she had my kids either. I think I gained 20 pounds with each one of them. I think it's exactly about right, too. 60 pounds. But folks, I'm telling you, I tell you this because this is one of those things, again, the church doesn't want to talk about because, well, why do we need to be talking about being naked? We're going to be clothed in robes. Something tells me not. That God could only allow us to see what we could comprehend right at the moment. Because other than that, what's the point? What's the point? You sound like you're wanting to be a nudist pastor in God's time. I have a condition that causes me to itch when I wear shirts. Don't like it. And I'm actually not twitching right now. I've started thinking about that. Normally you'll see me doing that. That's because my shirt's bothering me. So if you come to my house and I'm without a shirt, just enjoy. Because I ain't putting it on. I have to give a shout out to Miss Cheryl over there. She's like, Pat, was it last week? She's like, Pastor, have you lost some weight? I said, oh, dear sister, bless you. Which, by the way, it turns out I did. I lost 14 pounds eating pudding cups. I'm going to stop there for today on this, but I want you to start understanding. You don't have to be afraid, okay? There was one movie I watched years ago. Angela said, oh, she told me, it's like, it's got to be the scariest. And I watched Children of the Corn and thought, what is everybody worried about? I didn't think it was scary. And she said, it's called The Believers. Well, somebody had told her, and she had told me about it. I'm like, hey, well, over here, we got to watch it. And I watched that movie, and I'm like, well, it wasn't scary, but what the scary part was is it was based on stuff that could happen. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, and, you know, there's demons flying around this guy's house. And I'm like, learn the name of Jesus, buddy. Those things have to go. They have to flee. It's not like they have an option. And I'll tell you, and the more you understand your authority, sometimes all you may be able to get is just go. You need, when you understand your authority, I've never been pulled over by a cop. It was on his intercom. Pull over in the name of the law. No, all you had to do was flip him lights on, and I knew what was up. The reason I'm giving you a ticket today, sir. What, no good morning, no good afternoon? Hi, how are you? Let me see your... I'm giving you a ticket, son. Okay. We do not have to fear. I ain't got to fear anything. I don't fear what's going on in D.C. God knew it was going to happen. I don't fear what's going on in any place. I don't fear COVID. I don't fear this. I don't fear none of it because God knew it was all going to happen. God knows that the Antichrist is going to rise. The Antichrist was there when Jesus was on the earth. Come on. Jesus said, Antichrist is already here. And all he's trying to do is stop the body of Christ. And if we hole up because we're afraid to pray, that's why we do pray. Folks, do you know, I think it's in the nation, number three, the third hottest place in this country for human trafficking? Southern Ohio. Just came out this last week. It was Southern Ohio. Cincinnati's one of the towns, and the other one's actually a smaller town. But they're number three in the nation for human trafficking. Now, and that's based on how many people they've arrested, okay, which was 15. We don't have to fear that. I don't fear these children. And I pray God sets his angels round about my family. And if I don't get up that morning and I don't pray that, I know that my prayer didn't lift. You know, as veterans, we have this saying we like to say, my oath had no expiration date. Well, my prayer doesn't either. When I plead the blood of Jesus over my family for their protection, prosperity, and health, that stays. Blood of Jesus doesn't get washed away by anything. It washes things away. So, like I said, we'll talk some more about some things because I never fully got into everything, but I really want to get into some of that stuff like that just because Our theology is based on Hollywood. Now, I will have to be one of the first ones to admit, I've seen some things happen in the movies that I'm like, are you serious? We're seeing that right now. Especially sci-fi. It's like, whoa, dude, who's the prophet? Kind of does make me believe in conspiracy theories to a point. And I do believe there's a lot we don't know about. So just know that. But if you're battling, go after the spirit. You become the aggressor. For me, that was a hard thing. I was never allowed to be aggressor. Mom always wanted, you know, like I said, one, my mom wanted a girl. Messed that all up. But thank God, because my name was going to be Sweetheart. I think I'd have rather been named Sue. But I was not allowed to be aggressive. So I know for a lot of people that when I joined the Marines, that was just kind of a, say what? Well, I'll tell you right now, it changed who I am. And I found the aggressor. And I'm here to tell you that in the spiritual realm, you can be just as aggressive. You ain't got to be afraid of anything. That's why David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's like, bring it on, boys. God's with me. So, but I'll stop. Let's stand. I set my water out and didn't drink any. Oh, praise God. But that's why I want you to be praying for this country. Before you get all wrapped up and heartbroken over what just took place in D.C. or Columbus or what laws. Listen, they have been proposing gun control laws since the beginning of this country. We just need to keep praying. You know, and honestly, I wish there was we lived in a country where we didn't need them. I do. But you got to do what you got to do. I wish we lived in a country that fought for the unborn, that fought for God, that stood for God all the way. And I'm not talking about the politicians just sit here and say this, well, we're going to pass this law that you can't drink, but we've got our stash of scotch below in the back room, because that's exactly what they did. Prohibition was a joke. And by the way, you can never legislate morality. That's why I'm telling you, you're not going to pass a law against abortion. You got to go after the people. You got to show them God's love. People with alcohol problems, you got to show them God's love. Marijuana used to be legal in this country too. Cocaine, Coca-Cola. Yeah, I'm off subject. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Father, for your mercy and your kindness to us. Lord, we pray right now that you help us all to understand, one, the authority that you gave us through what Jesus Christ did. Now, Father, we stand knowing that anything that comes against us, we are greater than it. That, Father, we're the best. We're not just greater. We're the best. These things, these demons have never come up against us before. They don't know what they're in for. So, Father, I pray right now that you rise up in each and every believer at the sound of my voice today as a man of war. Rise up within their spirits that they will not stand any longer against the demonic attacks against their family, against them, against this country. Lord God, we know things are going to happen we can't control. But, Lord, the things that we can, we will. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now through these people. Father, your love is filling them. It's overflowing through them. Lord God, you're rising up inside of them. Not only is that man of war, but it's the God of peace. Father, that the God that brings love. Father, that unconditional love. Now, Father, I bless these people today. Father, I thank you you've healed those who have been sick. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in the midst of these people today. Father, you're going to lead them and guide them. You're protecting them, Lord. Father, you're setting your angels round about them that not one of them shall trip on a stone. In Jesus' name, amen.